My next guest playing at House of Blues tomorrow night, celebrating 30 plus years since his hits topped the U.S. charts. Chicago, give it up for Rick Astley. British pop star brought us tracks like Never Gonna Give You Up and Together Forever as he dominated radio play in the U.S. charts in the late 80s. Astley retired from music in the mid-90s, but he returned after about a decade. And of course, his music was brought back in the internet age when his video for Never Gonna Give You Up became a viral sensation, what is called Rickrolling. We all know it. Astley put out an album called 50 back in 2016, and he is back touring the United States with a show here in Chicago tomorrow night at the House of Blues. Rick Astley, my guest tonight on The Download. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
And you.
Chicago, this is surprising that this is not a usual spot for a Rick Astley tour.
I've not been here for a long time, to be honest. But to be fair, that's not just Chicago. I actually haven't done gigs in America for what I would call donkey's years. I don't know whether you guys use that phrase.
No, but a long time.
I kind of said to myself, I'll go back to America one day, but when I've made a new record, and it just took quite a long time to make a new record.
That's a good way to look at it.
And it's nice in lots of ways because we had that record 50 did really well in the UK. We had a lot of success with it, which was totally a total surprise for myself. I made it, that record, in my garage. You know, it's a nice garage, but I made it in my garage. And then it just kind of grew and grew and turned into this thing that, you know, a proper label released, and we went, and it just went boom. So coming over here, obviously, it's interesting because we haven't had anything like that. You know, it's just been a whisper, really. But because of the internet, you know, you're talking about Rickrolling and stuff, but because of the internet, people coming to the gigs, they're singing along with some of the songs, which is kind of, and you wouldn't have got that 25 years ago,
right.
I don't think.
Right.
It would have been a lot harder to try and do that.
Well, they just would have known what was on the record or what was on the radio.
Never Going to Give You Up, Together Forever, and a couple of others maybe. But I think now people, I know what I do. If I'm going to a gig, I quickly Google someone. And then boom, I go, oh, hang on a minute, they've just made a new record. And then I listen to three songs and I go, I might download that. I might actually buy it. You know, and then so we're living in a different world.
Well,
so it's nice.
Okay, so you're on tour, American tour. Do the audiences, are they different than the audiences that you'd play in the UK? I mean, is it a nostalgia tour? Are people coming out because they want to hear the old hits?
The thing with nostalgia is it's really weird because I think you can't deny the fact that if you're singing a song that's 30 years old, there's going to be some element of nostalgia in that. There just is. There's nostalgia in it for me. That's the other thing that I think sometimes people forget. Is that, and you talked about a decade. I think it was a lot more than a decade that I didn't, you know, do anything. And I messed around with music and stuff, but not you know, as a career, as it were, or publicly, certainly. Right. So a lot of the time when I sing those songs, I've been doing it again probably 8-10 years, I think, now. And started in a very, very small way. I actually went to Japan for the first ones, which was kind of bizarre. And the only reason we went there was because my wife and our daughter, who was 15, 16 at the time, they made me go because they wanted to go to Japan. So they knew they'd get a really good trip out of it doing gigs. And I did the gigs, and it was like doing a massive karaoke, and it was just brilliant. I just loved it. And I kind of walked off stage thinking, you fool, you can do that and then immediately stop. You know what I mean? You don't have to buy into doing records and doing that whole everything.
Right. There's almost two Rick Astleys, though. There's the Rick Astley that people are going to come out for, that Never Going to Give You Up or Together Forever. But a lot of your stuff, listening to 50 or even anything that was recorded after that album back in 1987.
Yeah.
Is more soulful. It's not that British pop that
possibly used. Yeah. I think also live things are just slightly different because, and also my voice has probably matured, I guess, in a positive way. I think it has anyway, and I get that comment from people sometimes. And also because, you know, I've known the guys in the band and stuff, and the girls and what have you, and we have a lot of fun. You know, I know every artist that you speak to says that, but I mean, I'm too old not to have fun doing it, if you know what I mean. I don't do it for any other reason than the fact that I really, really like doing it. Because to be honest, and I mean this with all respect, when I come to the States, I do small gigs. if I just stayed home, I can do much bigger gigs. Do you know what I mean? So,
but do you hear that from a lot of acts from the UK, especially? I mean, you put out 50, you topped the charts.
Yeah, we did. We did. We had a.
But I mean, you hear that a lot that you will have this monster following at home, and then you have you do different kind of gigs when you get out of the country.
But I do think that it's still, we regard it as a treat to be in America, and we regard it as, I don't want to go overboard, but it's an adventure, and it's a bit of a, there's a mystique to it, I think, for us, because you look at Chicago, the blues, you know, so many artists that, you know, came from here. We were in Motor City last week, you know what I mean? And it's kind of places like that. As kids, you grow up and you're so aware of it. And I'm sure you have the same. I'm sure absolutely. Bands want to go and play in Liverpool, because that's where they want to go and have a look at the Cavern Club, even though now it's just kind of sort of a tourist place. But people still want to go there, and I don't blame them. You know what I mean? I'd be the same. They want to go to Manchester and see where Oasis came from. They want to go, you know, wherever it is. So I totally get that. But I think for us, we grew up, I think, also not only listening to America, but watching it. You know, all the big TV shows when I was a kid, you know, whether it be Charlie's Angels, Starsky and Hutch, showing my age now, I know. But, you know, any of those shows that we'd watch on a Saturday primetime evening thing, it's kind of like, wow, that's what America looks like. You know what I mean?
But it goes both ways, because American audiences, especially, you talked about the big bands, of course, you talked about the Beatles and Oasis, but there has been an interest from American audiences in British music, alternative music, bands that don't necessarily cross over, but I mean, you were a huge success, but there are bands like Simply Red and other bands along those lines that may not have had as much success as you in topping the charts.
Right.
But the point being that America has always paid attention to the
UK. And also,
artists.
I think a lot of, I mean, you mentioned indie, you know, whatever the right term for that is today, I don't know, but you mentioned certain bands are in. I remember being in the States years ago, you know, back in the day kind of thing, and like a band, let's say, like The Cure would be absolutely massive. And I'm not saying that The Cure could not have come out of America, because that's possible, but I think there's certain things that, it's a small country, Britain, and there's something very weird going on in the water or something that's created certain artists. Like Bowie, I'm not sure Bowie could have come out of any other country than Britain, and I can't exactly put my finger on why, but there's just something about that little melting pot that we are that creates something. And I do think we're influenced by and we pinch stuff from America, of course we do, but then we do our little twist on it, you know what I mean? And,
absolutely.
And I think you go back to the Beatles, and they loved early rock and roll and Elvis and all of that, and then they just did something with it. So
Rick Astley in studio tonight. He's going to be at the House of Blues tomorrow night, right here, just over here on Dearborn, right by our studio. Rick Astley, of course, longtime performer, singer, who of course brought us songs like Never Gonna Give You Up, Together Forever. His latest album's called 50, which was put out back in 2016. New music on the way. Rick Astley, my guest. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Great. More conversation. Stay with us. If there's anything you need, thanks, Rob. It's Download 720 WGN. Rick Astley in studio tonight on the Download, talking about his gig tomorrow night at the House of Blues. He's back in the United States, an American tour. His album 50 was put out in 2016. New music on the way. You know, talking to you, it brings back such great memories for the music, of course, and hearing that song and all the other stuff, and being someone who really consumed that. Someone who, like, you know, like, it's all over the radio at that time. You know, I think about your career. I mean, what was it like for you as a young kid to be not only a huge star in where you're from, but to have successes, crossover success in the United States that not a lot of artists, British pop stars have had.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts, that, I think. And if I'm being really honest about it, it was also amazing, because having a hit or two here really changed the perspective of people in the UK. Because if you come here and do it, then they suddenly go, nah, okay, you're a global artist now, aren't you? You've actually done it. And you can go and have hits in Australia and stuff, and they think that's great, but it's just not the same. If you do it here, you've done it. And so that was pretty amazing, to be honest. So I remember coming back from having a number one record here and going back to the UK and going on a big TV show, and the host introducing me as I was about to sing a new song, I think from like the second album even by then. But and he's kind of saying, oh, you know, this is the guy who's just had two number ones in America. You know?
And I was just thinking, this is the guy.
Yep, that's me. So, it was a bit of a game changer, that, if I'm honest. Yeah, but Also, I think it was a different time. It was slightly, I mean, when I didn't think so at the time, but when I look back, it was a bit more naive, if I'm really honest, you know, because today, absolutely everything anybody does is just out there, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Everything's filmed, everything's photographed, right. Everything. It's just...
Everything's marketed.
I mean, it was real. Then. Yeah. It was then, for sure. But I just think it's down to a fine art a little bit now. And I think that's why I think back in the day, you know, rock stars would drink too much and maybe use other things and all the rest of it. And I'm not saying they don't do now, because I'm sure they do. But I think they go a bit crazy a bit younger sometimes, because they're under so much pressure, yeah. Under so much spotlight. You know what I mean? So
for you, you got out of the business. I mean, it's interesting to look at your history and say, what, 1993, that you said you're retiring at the age of 27. It was 1987 and 1988 that the big albums came out. It's not like there was a decade or 20
years. 4 or 5 years.
Why?
Yeah.
Why step away from it?
I knew I'd had enough of it, really. And if I'm brutally honest as well, I think people had started to have enough of me. You know, I think when you're in that kind of pop music, it's very in people's faces. It's like, oh, not again. So, to some degree. It is. It is. It just is. And I loved it. I had a great time. I really did. There was parts of it I didn't like. Of course there were, because I'm a human being. Do you know what I mean? And you were talking before about marketing and feeling a bit like a product and stuff. And you do feel that. But it far outweighed by the fun that I had. There's no doubt about that. And you know, and the whole kind of, and the experience of it all. But I just think, I just got to a point where I just thought, you know what, I think I'm done. And what happened also is that I started getting symptoms for things that were beginning to worry me. Like, I didn't want to fly anymore. And I really felt that if I got on a plane, I wasn't going to get off it at the other end. It wasn't going to make it. And that I did a bit of therapy over it, and I think I came to the conclusion really through that was that I just didn't want to. I didn't want to go there and do it. So not getting on the plane is a really good way of stopping a career.
And I would assume that the career that you're talking about, I mean, that there was a lot of money at stake, where people are like, Rick's got to be here, he's got to be there, we got to go here, we got to go there.
But it's a funny thing, the money thing, because I mean, I made what I still think to this day was a lot of money. You know, I mean, I was having a ball and doing what I kind of wanted to do and making money at it. It was ridiculous, really, but there you go, you know. Thank you, everybody. I do also think that record labels as well probably look at certain artists and think, how many more years have we got with this guy or this girl? How long have we really got before the artist turns around and says, what I really want to make is, I want to make a, you know, a record of flute solos with me banging a dustbin lid. Do you know what I mean? Or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so I think they probably take a... Because that's the crazy thing. When you've sold a lot of records, then the advance they have to give you for the next one, hopefully, is a lot of money. So for them also, I think they were probably thinking, well, if he's not really, really up for it,
and it's
are we going to sell any records anyway?
It's also amazing because that's the heyday of the record industry. When you're talking about 1987.
I'm so lucky.
I mean, that is when the industry was still a thing.
We used to sell... I don't want to make it like a crass thing about selling and money and blah, but I'm just it's just an interesting thing, I think. You know,
love it.
We used to sell more albums in a day than people sell full stop sometimes right now, who are doing sort of okay. You know what I mean? You could sell over 100,000 albums in a day. I'm sure some of the monster artists today can still do that, but I'm on about just me. You know what I mean?
But you were a monster artist.
I think for albums it's slightly different. Okay. I think the first couple of albums did do really well, but I think if you look at some of the really big selling album artists of, let's say, the last 10 years or so. Let's say, I don't know, Adele, Coldplay, somebody like that. Yes, they've got massive single success and the songs are always on the radio, but they sell a lot of albums because they're the kind of artists that people kind of, you know, they buy into, for want of a better way of putting it, in terms of they want the whole thing from them. They don't just want a song, you know what I mean? So,
what did you learn about yourself, about music, about the industry, from being on top like that? I mean, the from Together Forever, just taking one track. What did you learn? What do you take with you 30 years later?
I think when I look back, I don't think I learned it then exactly. I think I've learned it since, really, is how lucky I was and how just by walking through the right door at the right time, I got to go. You know, I actually got my break because I just happened to be... I'm not saying I don't have any talent or that I didn't work for it, because I did. I'd played drums in bands when I was at school, and I did all the pubs and clubs. I did all of that, blah, blah. All I'm saying is that you still have to have that element of luck, because I have bought albums by artists that I've really, really liked, and that album has done nothing. And it's still one of my favourite records, let's right. say. And I look at those artists and I think, what went wrong? What door did you walk through? Because you didn't walk through the door I walked through. Do you know what I mean? And I think when I look back, I just kind of think I was really lucky. And I think I appreciate those songs way more now than I did, because I was a kid. I didn't have anything to... I didn't have any perspective, really. I had nothing to compare it to, mm-hmm. whereas now I do. And I kind of think, you know, I can turn up in almost any country in the world. I can turn up in any country in the world, pretty much. And I know that they know Never Gonna Give You Up. And that could be, you know, a curse for certain people. But I think it's a blessing for me. I think it's pretty amazing.
I guess, you know, and... I can't, you know, talk with you without mentioning Rick Rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that I guess in internet phenomenon and memes is one of the biggest of all time, and and it's attached to your name and your
it's
image.
It's not going away.
It's
either.
Not going away. How do you look at it? I mean, because it can go one way or another.
Yeah,
how do you deal with it?
I think when it started, our daughter was in her mid-teens, 15, 16, and she said something to me which was just priceless. And she kind of sat me down. I remember it. She sat me down in the living room and said, "You do realize it's got nothing to do with you, don't you?" And I kind of went, whoa, 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 whoa. And she said, no, it's got nothing to do with you. And because obviously she was of the age of being glued to a computer and witnessing all these little things that were on there, you know what I mean, memes right. and what have you, right. and pranks and different things, she could see what it really was. Okay, it was her dad, but she managed to step away from that and go, well, if this was just some guy that had a hit all those years ago, it wouldn't be about him. It's just we, the internet, have decided.
Yeah, because I can imagine you would
want
to either glob onto it, you want to say something about it, you want to. It's you lived it, right?
Yeah. So the best thing for me to do, which I've sort of tried to do, to be honest, is just let it do its thing, mm-hmm. and you know, I forgive the pun, but I roll with it and I run with it and all the rest of it, and I just let it do its thing. And every now and again, I have done something with it because I've it's almost been irresistible. Like I got to Rick Roll the Macy's Day Parade,
yeah,
and
when
I called friends about it when I'd been invited to do it. And every single friend in America said, well, literally screamed down the phone, going, you've got to do it. And then when I thought about it, I thought, yeah, I have actually. I've got to do that because I'm never, ever going to get to stand on a float at Macy's Day Parade and go up and down and do that. You know what I mean? Who gets to do that?
Who gets to do
that? You know, and all right, you can, I don't care if people think it's cheesy, whatever. I got to go through New York at 4 miles an hour. Do you know what I mean? With like thousands of people in every single window.
A bunch of security guards letting you do it,
yeah.
right?
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was a crazy, weird, bizarre thing to do, but it was brilliant.
Rick Astley is in Chicago because he's got the show tomorrow night at the House of Blues. And of course, the album 50 came out in 2016. He's got new music, which is coming out this year. Rick Astley, a tremendous musician, 30 plus years. I mean, just over 30 years since those songs, Never Gonna Give You Up, Together Forever. Both of them took the United States by storm. Rick, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate the conversation, and good luck with the show tomorrow.
Thank you very much.